don't we just kind of go around the room and tell us your first and last name again? Some of you guys I haven't seen in a while because you've been out north, okay? So please forget, I'm getting old, so brain ain't as sharp anymore, okay? But anyway, we'll just start here and go around. And
Daniel and Talia Smith, we have our oldest is Layla, she's in 7th grade. Youngest is Logan, he's in 5th grade.
Okay.
So I'm Justin DiBella. My wife is Sarah, we're dividing a conference, she's downstairs in elementary.
Gotcha.
We got four, 13-year-old, she'll be 13-year-old girl named Frances. Two 10-year-old boys, Aiden and Arlo, and a 7-year-old.
Wow.
Okay. That's it. I think I
know. Yeah. You guys were in Fort Wayne, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 I remember. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
See you.
Absolutely.
We're here now.
Yeah. You're here now. Yeah. I knew that. Okay.
Mike Siegel and
Janice Siegel. We have Jonah, 11-year-old. We'll be going into 6th grade next year. He's currently homeschooling.
Okay.
We're just
all right. Amen.
What's
Carissa Jai. I have 3 kids. One of them is 19, so he's out of the, you know, but he's out of the teenage, like high school angst age. So, but then I got the freshman and the sophomore. Bella and Manny.
Okay. All right.
Brian Spade. I have 2 boys. Dylan is 10. And Ethan is 13.
And gotten tall too, boy. I see him. I was like, oh my gosh. I hadn't seen him in a while. Yeah. I'm like, I saw him walk through there. I'm like, oh my man, these guys are men walking around here now. So,
grown up.
Yes, absolutely. Amen.
I'm Rakia. My husband is not here. His name is Adi, is what we call him, but his birth name is Aluwali. He's from Nigeria. We're newly married 5 years, and we're new disciples to this church for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And I gave birth to 2. He currently has 4 that's in Nigeria still. So we have a total of 6. But my 2 that I gave birth to, Rachel, which is my little outgoing 4-year-old. And then I have my wonderful, sweet DJ Bear, D'Angelo, who's 14. He's in 8th grade and went to high school at White Township.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Okay.
So now I just have a question. Now I have to answer the question. So Alex will be in 6th grade. So right. Would that technically be young teen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Same with Logan.
That's all I'm going to be able to send him in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Carla Martin. And my husband is Michael Martin. So we have, of course, Alex, he'll be 11 next month, and Pierce will be 15 in August.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Janice and Rajan will be here in a second. Bavnoni. We have 3 boys. Caleb is a freshman. Jacob's an 8th grader, and Joel's a 5th grader.
Yeah, I saw you boys too, and I couldn't believe. Oh man.
Yeah,
I know. And that's what, you know, with you guys being out north and us being here, you know, it's just been a while since you've seen
them.
The last time you see them, you think they're still that same size.
It's amazing. Well, I'm Brian Chapman. This is my wife, Sharon. You know, I think we pretty much know all you guys here. We've all been around long enough to at least have seen one another and had some type of interaction with one another, but we have 2 older sons that are adults now, okay? But we're kind of heading back toward, you know, we have a grandson who is 10, okay? Which has kind of put us back in that mode of, okay, how can we connect with him, okay, spiritually, and how can we try to help him understand and be inspired to pursue God and to have a relationship with God. And so when they asked us to when they asked us to to lead a devotional for this class, my first thought was, why us, okay? And then I thought, well, boy, you know, some of the things we'll talk about, I think applies really at any age, okay, for all of us. So whether we have kids that are in this particular age range as far as teens are concerned, even some younger or older, okay, I think the things we'll look at still are applicable to all of us as parents. And, you know, and then the other thing is that after I looked at what they wanted us to talk about, you know, Chris had given us a couple of questions that he wanted us to really try to really look at for our time here tonight. And he said the goal really here was to really help motivate, okay, to motivate and hopefully inspire us to want to, and I believe we all want to, or else we wouldn't be here, okay, but, you know, to continue to try to connect with our teens. And sometimes that can be a hard and difficult task at times or a challenge. Guys, we live in a world that, you know, is always pulling at them, and they're waiting on them, and they are looking to pretty much fill them up, okay, with, you know, what the world has to offer. And yet our goal is to try to make sure that we give them the right foundation, that we give them the right guidance, that we send them in the right direction so that they can have the things that really will make a difference in their life. And that, of course, will eventually, you know, lead them to having a tremendous relationship to God and really experiencing all the blessings that God has given us and that we've been able to enjoy as adults in our lives. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, communicate some things and talk about some things that will be encouraging for you, that will hopefully inspire and motivate, and that hopefully you can, you know, when you leave here tonight, that it'd be something that you can really think more of. And I think that was part of also the purpose and the goal of this time tonight and these devos, was to get us really not to answer all the questions, but to at least get us thinking about ways that we can take some of the things that we learned or take in from these devotionals and really tailor them to our own specific families. Okay. Yeah. And I want to encourage us to look at it in that way, because, you know, sometimes you can say something and you might think, well, you know, that might not fit, this person here. But, you know, if we take it and really try to draw from the principle of it, we can maybe take that and tailor it to our own situation. OK, and make it work. So, you know, again, we are really appreciative of being here with you guys and being able to have this time with, and really the two questions they wanted us to really answer tonight or at least talk about was, one, why as parents is it our responsibility primarily to connect with our children spiritually? Why is it as parents, or why as parents is it our responsibility primarily to connect with our children spiritually? And then secondly, why is the spiritual connection between a parent and a child the highest form of connection? And again, you know, hopefully the things we look at will help give us some guidance in regards to those questions here. And actually, I think, you know, the first question is really kind of the easy one, at least it is to me, and somewhat obvious, but yet may not be. I mean, I know, I think we all want our kids to go to heaven. You know, we all want our kids to have a great life. We want them to you know, avoid some of the pitfalls and traps that are out there in the world, okay? And so we want to see them avoid those type of things. And yet, you know, I'm sure some of those things come to mind as we think about, you know, why it is our responsibility. But I believe there's really even a more simple answer or a simple, you know, reason why we need to take the responsibility, the primary responsibility, okay, of connecting with our children. And if you have your Bibles, let's go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 6 And actually, I'm going to have my wife come in. She's going to take you to another scripture. So keep your place there. And she's going to take you to another place. But the first, really the reason that I believe that it is our responsibility as parents to connect spiritually with our children is because God puts that responsibility on us, squarely on our shoulders. God puts the responsibility of connecting spiritually with our kids on our shoulders. Now, that may sound simple. It may sound easy, okay? Or it may sound, okay, that sounds pretty obvious. But we'll look at some things. And as we talk about that, I want you guys to consider, okay, as God talks about taking on that responsibility, and we'll look at something in a second here, Am I taking that same attitude? Am I taking that same approach? And so Sharon's going to share a scripture with you here, and then she's going to share some things, and I'll come back in just a second here.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, in regards to why is it my primary responsibility to connect spiritually with my children. So Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers," and I say mothers too, "do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So why is it my responsibility? I think it's because the Bible tells us so. Mm-hmm. You know, we as parents are instructed to follow the word of the Lord when raising our children. That's what the scripture says. The parent-child relationship should mirror that of Jesus and God. Just like Jesus obeyed and followed the word of God, his Father, mm-hmm. children should be encouraged to follow the word of God through the training and instruction that the Bible commands that we provide as parents. We must give them the word of God because our words and our commands at times can be exasperating to them. Okay? Yeah. We can be self-serving. We can be unreasonable. Mm-hmm. We can be humiliating. Mm-hmm. We can be abusive even. You know, and there's other things that we can be. And that's because we're imperfect humans. Yep. We're imperfect.
Amen.
So we have to prepare ourselves daily to raise our children by putting on the full armor of God. Just every day we have to get ready. It is beneficial for our children to see at home a parent grappling and striving every day to grow in their faith, all the while providing them with the training and instruction that is God's will and command to provide according to his word. So, because God says.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and look at, we'll start at verse 1 there. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know, as we said, God puts the responsibility on us as parents to connect spiritually with our children. I believe that here in Deuteronomy, God is saying that very thing. He's saying, listen, I want you as a parent to take the responsibility to connect with your children. to connect spiritually. God puts that onus on us as parents. Now, does that mean that we're responsible for their salvation and that, you know, whether or not they become a Christian or not? That's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is that we have a responsibility, though, to try to connect with them spiritually. And when you look at here, God talks about impressing them on your children. He's talking about his word. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you are walking together, before you go to sleep, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. He's talking about initiation. He's talking about taking the responsibility and going after making that spiritual connection with our sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And so God puts the responsibility, the primary responsibility of connecting spiritually on us. And God wants our efforts to connect with our children to be, first of all, intentional. God wants our efforts to connect to be intentional. We have to be intentional in our desire and our effort to connect. You know, my son was playing ninth grade basketball. Baseball. And he was a good player. I knew he was a good player. But when the season started, coach set him on the bench. And he was the fastest guy on the team, which means that he can get around the bases and steal bases. He was a center fielder. He was one of the best, the guys who could catch the ball the best. So he would have made it. He was a great center fielder. And I knew he could hit. But for some reason, you know, I went and talked to the coach. The coach wasn't playing him. I thought, man, what's going on here, coach? He's not, you know, he's always kind of grown up being one of the best baseball players. But now he's gotten to this point and you know, things are not happening. So the coach said, well, he's not hitting the ball. You know, we have practices. He's not hitting the ball. He's not, you know, there's just something that's off. And so then, you know, I thought, okay, we got to fix this. I have to go after it. And so I took my son, you know, I took him out to practice and, you know, throwing some pitches to him. And I noticed that, you know, he the ball would come and he was just missing it by a mile. And so eventually I just stopped and said, hey, his name is Adrian. I said, Adrian, I said, can you see well? He said, what do you mean? Yeah, I can see. I said, you know, when I throw the ball, when do you start to see the ball? And he said, well, I don't necessarily see it when it comes out your hand. I just see it when it gets right there by the plate. And I thought, okay, this guy needs glasses. And so I set up an appointment, took him to the eye doctor. Sure enough, doctor said, yeah, his vision is, you know, not good, and he's probably needed glasses for years. And so, you know, they gave him some contacts. He put the contacts in. Went back out to practice. I talked to the coach, you know, hey, I think he's, you know, he may have the problem fixed. And sure enough, you know, when he finally got in the game, he was able to hit it. He ended up having the best batting average of the team at the end of the year, played great center field, got to play a whole lot more. But, you know, it that was a result of being intentional. You know, I looked at the situation. I thought, man, okay, you know, something's wrong. We got to figure out what's going on here. And I decided to take some steps to try and help him to move, you know, beyond where he was at that particular point. And so, you know, I look at that situation and I look at, you know, when we talk about where our kids are and what's going on in their lives. And sometimes it's just a conversation. Sometimes intentional just means having a conversation, you know, hey, how's your sight? Can you see well? And you know, just asking some of the questions that need to be asked in order to you know, find out what's going on. But God wants us to be intentional. Impress upon your children having some intentions about connecting with them. Secondly, our efforts must be consistent. He says, impress them on your children. You know, this has the idea of repeatedly pursuing, okay, or being consistent in our efforts. You know, there's New English Standard Version that it says, teach them diligently to your children. The New Living Translation Version says, repeat them again and again to your children. In other words, God wants us to be consistent. So not only are we to be intentional, but God calls for us to be consistent and to put forth, you know, the type of effort. And I know, you know, if you guys are like me and what I, things that I can remember, you know, trying to connect is a hard thing at times, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you feel like you're trying to connect and, you know, they're not wanting to connect. You know, you feel like you're going up against the wall. You feel like, man, there's just all this resistance and, you know, and it's just a tough thing. But, you know, guys, we're called to continue to try, to continue to give, to continue to try to make that connection, to continue to put forth the effort, keep trying and fighting with care and diligence. And so, you know, we need to strive for consistency in trying to connect spiritually. Third, God wants our efforts to be woven into our everyday lives. He wants our efforts to be woven into our everyday lives. When he says, you know, when you sit at home, when you are walking together, you know, this also means, you know, looking for opportunities to connect. We got to find ways. We got to, you know, try to find ways to connect spiritually with our kids. And sometimes, you know, they're there, but sometimes we miss them because we're not looking. Sometimes we miss them because, you know, we're just not ourselves in the spiritual mindset that we need to have about, okay, where can I find those openings? Where can I find those opportunities to try and get in there and to connect, you know, with our children spiritually? And so, again, intentional, consistent, and then woven into our everyday lives. God wants us to really go after connecting with our kids spiritually with care and diligence and through the instruction and teaching of his word. Now, I want to look at the second question. Why is the spiritual connection between parent and child the highest form of connection? I want to kind of open up for a second. Why would you guys say that a spiritual connection between parent and child is the highest form of connection?
When I hear that question, I think of quarter three strands. Like, I think it's the God that ties us together.
Okay.
I mean, in any relationship, really, at times, without God, some of it gets weird.
Okay.
Okay. In some way. So.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Yeah, I kind of thought that, like, one of the things I always said, like, getting married, I say, if my husband is close to God and he's walking with God, I know I'm going to feel the, you know, all of that.
Right.
That comes from that. So
yep.
It's like the spiritual, when you're connected to God and then you connect it to your child, that mm-hmm. spiritual, it just, you can't go wrong.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You just can't. I mean, we can look at the physical, the mental, but that's the most important.
Amen.
Because that drives
yep.
everything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amen. Anyone else? Uh-huh.
I just think our children see us as their first glimpse mm-hmm. of God, mm-hmm. you know, before they have the curiosity to want to know more about God on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see that in our example, and that's why
yep.
we have to be
yep.
consistent, you know, from
yep.
you know, from the time you're born up. And so I think a lot of times when people have a hard time connecting with God, they compare God to their earthly
mm-hmm.
parents, and
yep.
knowing that, you know,
yep.
we're imperfect and God's perfect.
Yep.
But I think all the more, not saying that we'll be perfect, but that we have to take it seriously and be an example
mm-hmm.
so that they can be drawn
yep.
to God. So that's why it's, you know, extremely important, because they see God in us
Absolutely. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah. Go ahead.
When I think about making a spiritual connection just in general, it reminds me of being very vulnerable and very honest.
Yep.
And that puts you in a situation that
uh-huh.
it can really draw out that connection.
Absolutely.
And so you saw Jesus doing that with God quite a bit.
Yep.
So that's kind of the connection I think of.
Absolutely. And guys, all of those are great answers. Okay. And all of the, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm kind of reversing a little bit, but mm-hmm. I see the kids as the immature thoughts, as kind of what we were describing earlier, as the least from God from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that so that it makes it more difficult for us to connect with them, because you're worrying about them, wanting to make sure they're on the right track, and so then you're trying to reach out to them, and sometimes they don't want to listen to you, and sometimes they will play with you, and so forth. Okay. But being able to connect with them, find the something, just compliment them or something, mm-hmm. maybe work on something that will brighten their day,
mm-hmm.
maybe playing with them, maybe giving them appreciation,
okay.
recommendation of what they've done,
uh-huh.
and just emphasizing encouragement.
Okay. Amen. Yeah.
There's a book I like called How People Grow. I don't know if anybody read it, but it argues that all growth is spiritual growth.
Okay.
Like if it's not spiritual growth, it's not. It might seem like it, feel like it, look like it,
uh-huh.
but it's not really. So when you asked the question, I kind of thought of that. Like,
uh-huh.
Really the only true connection would seem like it would have to be spiritual. I mean, there's ways to connect.
Yep.
We'll throw a ball around.
Right.
But I think, that's a way to connect. But really, mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's what a real connection is.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, going off of that, and I'll just say, you know, there are many ways that you can connect. And don't get me wrong, you need to pursue those ways as well, okay? You need to try to connect. There are a lot of ways to connect that are not considered quote unquote spiritual, but we don't need to neglect those, because we also want our kids to know that they are more, you know, than just some type of spiritual goal for us. Okay. You know, they want to know that we appreciate them for who they are as well. But, you know, when you talk about having a deep connection, a strong connection, you know, it really is going to come back to us making sure that we try to connect with them spiritually. At this point, Sharon's going to just share what she really sees as some benefits of us being in a spiritual connection with our kids, and them also, of course, with God.
Okay, and you guys have said a lot of what I already had.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I just wanted to say, as far as connecting with our kids, I think our kids do want to be connected to us. They do want to be included, even though their body language and their actions and the stuff that they say says otherwise. That's also known as teen angst. So their actions and behavior are just their language, you know, because they haven't got it all figured out. So this is how their language is. And they're letting us know that they don't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That they don't want a boss. They don't want an owner. They don't want a controller. So we want to connect to them in such a way that they will choose us
mm-hmm.
as their influencer. We want to be that influencer, you know, that they have out there. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, for them to be chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual connection is the highest form of connection with their children, because, like a lot of you have said, God is at the root of it.
Yep.
And so the benefits of having God at the root of your connection, and there's scriptures with all this, if you guys want them, I can give them to you later, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read. Just the points is the benefits: you can have peace in any situation with God. He guards our hearts and minds. God gives us confidence. God satisfies the longing in our souls. And what nothing else can do, God saves us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that being said, it's good to try connecting with them, like somebody said, in various ways, like bonding over food. I think taking them out to eat their favorite restaurant, to go and shopping, just whatever you find that piques their interest and that you can have some type of connection with them, because that may open the door to a spiritual connection to them. So just opening up those doors in any way that you can.
And I think, guys, I don't know if you guys caught what she said there. And say that again about them choosing us.
Yes. So we want to connect to them in such a way that they will choose us as their influencer and ultimately be chosen by God.
So you know, think about it. When we became Christians, we chose God. Now, He chose us, okay, first. But we chose Him as well. And we chose God because of, you know, and you can name all the different things that, you know, reasons, His faithfulness, His love for us, His compassion, His mercy, His grace. Those were the things that made us say, man, I want that. I want that relationship. I want a relationship with our Father. And so He chose us, but we also chose Him. But see, God gave us that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
He gave us the opportunity to choose Him. I always think God could program us. He's God, okay? He could program us to do anything He wants us to do if He wanted to. But God gave us free will because He wants us to choose Him like He chose us. And, you know, guys, if we think about our kids and how we interact with them and how we make them feel, I think, you know, what Sharon shared there is really important, that, you know, we want our kids to choose us as well. And some of that comes down to our example. Some of it comes down to, you know, how we treat them and you know, how we love them. And, you know, and so when you talk about the primary responsibility, you know, to connect spiritually, you know, there are ways that, you know, at times we have to look inside of ourselves and ask, okay, what do I need to change so that my kids will choose me and God, who I follow? Because what they see in me is me imitating what I see in God. You know, cultivating a spiritual relationship with our children, guys, is going to require, in reality, you know, all the things that it takes to build a real connection with other disciples. And I think, you know, you mentioned a couple of those, being vulnerable, which I think of, you know, letting them know that you're not perfect and that God covers over our imperfections. You know, one of the things my son, as he got older, we were having some conversations, and one of the things he said to me that was so convicting, he says, you know, he said, man, I just find it hard sometimes to relate to you. Because, you know, it seems like you didn't do very much wrong. And I thought, man, that's okay. That's not what I don't want you thinking that. And so, you know, we had those conversations where, you know, I sat down and just really opened up and said, no, man, let me tell you where I was before I became a disciple and where I was before I became a Christian. And so, you know, we need to make sure that they understand that, you know, we are not perfect, but we understand that God covers our imperfections. We need to be vulnerable, be open with our lives. Now, one thing I'll say, that it's considered age appropriate openness. Okay, I'm not saying you go and just you know, share anything. Okay, but I'm saying make sure you use some knowledge and some insight, some wisdom as far as what you share. And make sure it's age appropriate, but we need to be open, okay? Exhibit humility. Are we willing to apologize and ask forgiveness when we don't handle a situation right?
Yeah.
You know, when maybe, you know, they got in trouble, but, you know, maybe we had a part in maybe them not fully obeying what we asked them to do. Do we, you know, maybe go back and say, hey, I apologize. I'm sorry, you know, yeah, maybe you didn't do what you were supposed to follow through on, but, you know, maybe the way I handled the situation, maybe the way I instruct you to do it, maybe it wasn't the very best. Are we having the humility to, you know, be open with them in those ways? Okay, those again are things that, you know, will only draw them to us and help them understand in some ways what it really does mean to be a disciple and what it means to be a Christian, because we all fall short. You know, we all need the grace of God. Having courage, being willing to discuss tough topics, okay? You know, that's all part of it. Again, all things that it takes for connections that we make among one another as disciples. It's going to be a lot of those same things that are part of it. Giving respect, allowing room for them to express their viewpoints or thoughts. You know, do we allow them to say, now I'm not saying it's going to be right, okay? It may not be the most mature thing that you hear, okay? But do we at least, do they feel they're in an environment where that they can communicate some things and talk and that, you know, getting into the last point here about that we'll listen. Do we listen? You know, do we give them our undivided attention when they maybe bring things up to us? I mean, I think there's all things that, you know, when we talk about cultivating a spiritual connection with our children are going to be important for us. And it really does get to us developing a much deeper connection with our kids on a spiritual level. And, you know, guys, when you compare the relationships that we're able to enjoy as opposed to what we had out in the world, we know these are the deeper relationships, yeah. Okay? Yeah. We know that the relationships in the world don't go toward any depth like we have based upon our relationships in the Lord. And so, you know, God gives us the blueprint. He gives us what we need. And again, a lot of that is what we find we do with one another, okay? We find ourselves being open. Man, you know, it will help in our relationships and connecting with our children. Go to Ephesians 3.
Mm-hmm. Come on, brother.
Ephesians 3 and verse 17. Verse 16, you can start. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
What was that again? Ephesians what?
Ephesians 3.
Great, thank you.
Verses 16 through 19. You know, guys, because the love of Christ is deep and wide, then any connection that's based on that love has the potential to also be deep and wide. All the ways of connecting for us with our children don't come close to what it takes to connect spiritually. And so connecting spiritually really is inherently and profoundly deeper than any other way we can connect. It's inherent. Jesus' love is so deep and so wide that when we try to love the way he loved, when we try to connect the way he connects with us, guys, that relationship will go deep. And so, you know, it's you know, really incomparable to compare the type of connection that we can have spiritually as opposed to, you know, whatever else ways that the world tells us to connect, okay, out there. Man, God gives us, you know, so much. And, you know, it's just it's up to us to take advantage of it to take hold of the opportunity to make sure that we take what he's given us and use it, and to really help make sure that, you know, we are trying to connect with our children spiritually and meeting their needs in that way. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to, they told us just to kind of, we were practical with you guys for this evening. And one of the things I thought of that, you know, I kind of learned from having, again, conversations with my sons, you know, and it's a way I think that you can connect. And maybe you guys already do this, okay? I wish I had done this more as they were coming up. But one of the things is that when they come to a Devo and, you know, they come home, or you get them and you, you know, you get back home, you know, take some time to just ask questions. And maybe you guys already do that. Maybe ask questions about, well, you know, what did they learn? You know, what did they get from the lesson? What did they, you know, what was said? And I think it's so important that we do that. And the reason I say that is this. You know, one of the things I learned in having some conversations going back with my sons is that we were having a conversation one day, and they brought up some things that they thought they were taught when they came to the Devo. And, you know, when we heard what they shared, it was just kind of like, well, man, where did that come from? Now, it didn't come from who was teaching, okay? It came from how they perceived it and how they digested what they heard and how they, you know, processed what they heard. And what we realized is that, you know, they had come away with some perceptions about some things being taught. And specifically, you know, like I said, my sons were very involved in sports. So, you know, one of the things they heard was that, or they thought they heard, is that sports was a bad thing as a Christian. Mm-hmm. And we didn't find that out until years later. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, where'd that come from? Well, we went to the Devo and we heard this. And I know they didn't hear that. Okay? I know they didn't hear that. Right. Now, they might have heard, well, hey, you know, God needs to be first. And God needs to be number one. And, you know, sports and all the other stuff needs to come after God.
Right.
So that's probably what they heard. Mm-hmm. But how they processed it.
Right.
How they internalized it. How they perceived it was something very different. Which I don't necessarily blame them either. Mm-hmm. They were young. They didn't understand. And they, you know, we drop them off and they think, okay, I'm supposed to come here and listen and take it in. And. And, you know, and they do that. And they listen and they take it in. But, you know, in their young minds at times, sometimes they don't have the wisdom or the insight to take what they hear and to, you know, come up with a balanced and right understanding about what they heard. And so, you know, you want to make sure that as you, and again, this is just a way to, a practical of being able to try to connect with your kids, is that when they come from the Devos, ask them.
Yeah.
And see what they say. Just give them a chance to talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see what they felt like they heard. And then you can hear what they heard, and then you say, okay, well, man, maybe I don't know if you heard, you know, that, because I knew the people who were teaching, and I know, you know, what they teach and so forth, and I know that they didn't teach what my sons thought they heard. But we won't know that
unless we ask.
Unless we ask. Unless we're intentional. That's what I mean by that, being intentional. And I hate to admit this, but there was a part as I look back, I said, man, I wasn't intentional in spiritually connecting with them on that level. Because I should have been asking questions. I should have been giving them the opportunity to tell me, what are you learning? What are you hearing? What are you, how, you know, how do you perceive this? What are you understanding? Because then I, you know, could have corrected that, you know,
Would it be good to be vice versa?
What do you mean?
Vice versa, rather than them telling us what they learned in Google, should we be telling them what we learned in Google?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's being intentional too.
Yeah.
And looking for those opportunities to share those things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that, you know, probably for some of us, and maybe I just speak for myself, there were times when I look back, I wish I had, you know, gotten in there a little more and asked those type of questions. Okay, instead of just thinking that, well, they went to Devo, they heard some good things, let's hope it changed them, let's hope it got into their hearts, let's hope it, you know, it's going to make a difference for them, and then you wait to see, okay, is it making a difference for them? And then you, and you don't see them changing, you wonder why. Well, maybe they're coming away with a different perception about what they heard.
Yeah.
Than what, you know they, that as far as what was said, or you're not in there really helping to shape and make sure that they're getting the correct understanding
mm-hmm.
about what they're hearing.
I want to add on to what you're sharing, you know, back then, like I said, parents and they were teens and we were younger adults,
mm-hmm.
whether we were, you know, team leaders or whatever. And I'm not saying you guys personally, but a lot of the parents back then really did put the onus and responsibility
yep.
on you know,
the team leader.
And, yeah. Well,
yep.
And who was over the youth to
yep.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful and I'm thankful that now,
yes.
you know, it's really been encouraged for parents to be intentional and
mm-hmm.
that
yep.
has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think just wanted to share that because it's not, you know, not to put so much on yourself if that was the culture
right.
sure. yeah.
back
right.
then.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's only, you know, it took
yes.
us learning and knowing
yeah.
and different
and,
now.
And you yeah. were very, and you're right. And I think that was kind of the mentality then.
Yeah.
Okay. That was part of the mentality, is that I would just, you know, if the team leader comes over to my house and picks up my kid and takes him off and goes and spends an hour with him and then he brings him back.
And she'll keep it
yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Or, but you know, just the thought of, yeah, you got relief for that hour. But just the thought that, okay, well, he's getting his spiritual needs met instead of having a mindset of, okay, well, hey, what'd you guys talk about?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn? What'd you understand? What, you know, and just making sure that what perceptions they picked up and how they process that information, whatever it is they heard,
yeah.
that, you know, they're processing it in the right way.
Yeah.
And not in a way that, you know, takes them in a whole total different direction.
Right.
And so, you know, guys, like I said, but it was that way. You're right. We just felt like, okay, the team leader's gonna come in and take care of them, and you know, if they're going to Devos, they'll get what they need, and everything will be fine. And so, you know, I don't walk around feeling guilty because they still have responsibility themselves for what happens with their lives. Okay, I completely understand that. But, you know, you can look back at things and say, man, I wish I had done this different.
Yeah, right.
Wish I had done that different. Mm-hmm. And those are things that, you know, we can share with you guys and hopefully encourage you to get in there and be intentional.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking about it ultimately, it'll be eventually their responsibility. But one of the things that I've been personally struggling, you were talking about, like, they're going to learn at Devos. Well, one of the things is, like, sometimes they don't want to go to Devo.
Sure.
Yeah.
To you, it seems
yeah.
like they're just going to
yeah.
be there.
Yeah.
But for us, we you know, we have a kid who's like, I don't want to go. I don't
yeah.
want to do anything.
Sure.
I didn't want to leave my house.
Sure.
Yeah, the only one.
So,
yeah.
It's
come
like,
on, let's do it.
On the same
why do I have to go?
Yeah.
Why do I have to go?
At
yeah.
what point do we give them a little bit of leeway to make their own decisions? At what point do we say, you just got to do it, man? Like,
are you kidding me? Really? Leeway?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good question. It is a good question. Okay.
Can I take it?
Go ahead. Uh huh.
So my kids love going to Devo when it's a message. They don't like coming to Devo when it's playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. So, yeah, like they don't want to mingle. Is it, so the question I get is this like a church devo, or it's is it a spiritual devo, or it's a play devo? Because he doesn't want to go to the play devo. That's one of my kids. The other kid doesn't really care, but 99% of the time, they don't want to go. Like, we're picking them up from track, and then they're going home, they're changing their shirt in the car, spraying their stinky armpit, and then we're coming to Devo, buying food on the way. But every time they come, they have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think for us, that's what we circle back after that moment, and then we talk about that. Like, weren't you glad you went? Mm-hmm. Who did you talk to? What did you do? And then, like, things that we do are, like, we know their friend crew. Like, sometimes after midweek, they don't want to go to midweek. And we'll go to, like, Wendy's with the Testas after midweek. Mm-hmm. And then get, like, you know, we've done it where we, like, right from here, there's a Mexican restaurant right around the corner. We're all rushing from work and picking up our kids and running here. So a bunch of the families, we'll just go over there, and the kids will all sit on one table, and they're playing.
Yeah.
So those are the things. I personally do not give my kids a choice, because I, not that I want to force them or anything like that, but that's what Bob and I do. We go to Devo, we go to church, we're, you know, and together we make the decision if we can't go to something, it's for a good reason. So they've seen us all not go to something too, but it's not common, it's not the norm that we miss, and then we talk about why we've missed, or why maybe mom has to stay home. We usually don't even do that. Like, we both are at most things. Mm-hmm. But if one of us has to do something, we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But we want to talk to our children about it, because we don't want them to get into the habit of seeing that kind of behavior too. Like, I, you know, they can't differentiate between why one person is not there versus the other. All they're seeing is, well, why does she get not to go? And why do I, you know, those kinds of things, right? Yeah. So we make sure that we don't leave, like, any of that stuff, you know.
And I want to take that. Okay, go ahead.
I kind of wanted to piggyback. I'm talking more about what you were saying about when you're, our child is gonna, is getting to the age where he's going to be going to Devos and things like that. Right. Like, misconceptions. I can totally see that happen with my son. I can totally see him. And then us say, well, what did you talk about? And him say, well, they said this. And we say, well, no, this is how it was really meant.
Yeah.
No, that is because they think they know everything, right, at this age.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get through that? Like, they're just going to sit there and argue with you, and nothing you say is going to be right, you know?
Honestly, they may tell you wrong things, because there was at one point I was really big into band, and I was told in no uncertain circumstances, you need to quit, or you can't do this.
Okay.
So there are things like that.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
we have to be wary of parents. Like, sometimes they are taught wrong.
But I mean, when we're trying to talk them through it, and trying to get through that, like, what was really said? What are you really getting out of this? You know.
Well.
And because I think kids at this age, they're starting to develop their own personality, own thing, and their parents don't know anything. So.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. I think with some of that, you gotta, you know, you go ahead and try to explain, as best you can, what you feel like was being said. And if you can support it from the Bible, of course, God's word.
Right.
Show them something. Okay. Here, which of course you probably could, because they should be hearing things from the word anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so you try to show them with that, but then, you know, that again is where you just gotta, you plant those seeds, you put that there, and just, you know, don't get into a crazy argument with them about it, okay? But just kind of.
I was wondering, is that common?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, sure.
But then my to answer your question, I mean, I think it's, you know, depends on the person who's delivering the message. If you know that person, you trust that person, their character, then use it on, I know where they're coming from. But if you don't, you can always go to that person and say, hey, this is what my son got out of this.
Yeah.
This is really what she meant. You know, that's on us, the parents, to, do a deeper dive into that and not just take the person who's teaching were for too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we didn't do in the past.
Yeah.
Right. And what left, you know, a lot of people hurt.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, go ahead, and then I'm going to jump in after you real quick.
I just, one thing I really appreciate, it does give my child a chance to learn that he doesn't know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're spending 95% of the time, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. You're going to be going, son. He goes, he comes back. Aren't you glad you went? Yeah, I am glad I went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, now I'm trying, can you just remember this day?
No.
All over again.
You come back. Yeah, I am glad I go. So let's get the pattern here. Okay, maybe in the future when you don't want to go anywhere, you should just kind of go anyway. Just because you never know how you're going to feel afterwards.
To be honest, I struggle with that myself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm an extreme introvert, so going to church is sometimes very taxing. So,
I do. I mean, I'm the way too, but I do remember. Hey, you know what, Michael? You feel much better if you went.
And I agree. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So in my brain, at least when things get hard, I'm like, oh.
And what I wanted to think about with that, because I, you know, that was something I think I talked to you guys. We were talking about something similar to this a few weeks ago, and I said that. I said I was going to talk about this during the Devo, but here's one thing, guys, that we got to keep in mind when it comes to our kids and as we try to help them to move closer to God, okay? You know, Jesus says, whoever comes after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, okay? Mm-hmm. And so as we study the Bible, okay, we were confronted with that. Okay, I got to deny myself, okay? Which meant that for a lot of us, we had to change something because we weren't used to denying ourselves. We just kind of lived a life that said, I'm going to do what I want to do, okay? And if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to deny myself anything. And so we had to make a change, okay? And what we learned through that, when we started making that change and saying, I'm going to follow this, I'm going to trust Jesus on this, is that we liked it. We said, oh, man, I'm glad I went. You know, when I was a college student, Friday night Devo. I didn't want to go, but I went, and by the end of it, I'm coming back home saying, man, I'm so glad I went. It was fun. I enjoyed it, blah, 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 or I got this from, got that from it. And, you know, what we got to look at is some of facing this with our kids is a time to be able to start helping to train them to move in that same direction. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because they're going to become disciples. They're going to have to make that type of decision anyway, that I got to deny myself. And trust God and knowing that, man, I'll come away, okay, man, it was fun, okay, or I enjoyed it. Like Rajan was saying here, you know, that, man, it was, they end up having a great time, okay? And so that is part of the training, okay, with our kids.
Yeah.
So that they, you know, they start to understand that principle. There's a principle there is that when we deny ourselves, good things happen.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, it's when we don't deny ourselves that all the bad consequences tend to happen in our lives.
Back to your first point, though, about relationship with your children and God being foundational.
Yes.
Right? It's the foundation.
Yeah, sure.
If one of us is not close to God, their relationship gets weird.
Oh, sure.
Right? I mean, because you revert back to your sinful nature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and your sinful nature is not good.
Right. Yeah.
So I think relationship with God is the foundation of everything that we're kind of somewhat talking about.
Because
if you're not going back to that, then you're not, it just gets wonky.
Yes. You know? Yes. Absolutely. Now, for sake of time, guys, I don't know. You know, I'm glad it sounded like we had some really good conversation here, and that's been great. And I appreciate everything that you guys have shared, okay? Hopefully.